Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
The following program is an encore presentation of The Exchange.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guests in the studio today, it's going to be a great day because we always love it when folks bring instruments with them. But we have three of the members of the band, the Rayo Brothers. And the Rayo Brothers play a roots heavy mix of bluegrass, blues, outlaw country. It's also been stated that they draw inspiration from the new generation of folk music, a la Mumford & Sons, Avett Brothers, and Crooked Still. I love what Matt Segura of the Times of Acadiana said, that they are one part GQ. Snappy dressers. You guys put yourselves together pretty well. One part GQ, one part string band, and all fun. So who we have here today with the Rayo Brothers on guitar, we have Daniel Rayo. On banjo, which we love it when somebody brings a banjo in here, we have Jesse Rayo. And on bass, we have Jordan Ardwin, also hurrying to take care of his studies for the day. So welcome, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I will mention that Lance Callahan, who does drums and mandolin with you folks, isn't here today. So we'll have him here in spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm curious. Now, you two are brothers, Daniel and Jesse. How old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20.
About to be 21.
Oh, you're
really
young. Why? How
I didn't even realize you was that young.
Yeah. How old are you, Jesse?
I am 25.
25. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, the two of you growing up. So you had, I mean, that's different though. Now it doesn't seem like that much of an age difference, but when you're younger, it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Actually, I guess growing up, we have a brother in between us too.
Okay.
Asher. I guess me and Asher, when we were growing up, kind of picked on Daniel more because it was just the three of us.
Sure, so yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you're the young one.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we get back at him today somehow?
We drove him down into the dark recesses of his soul, and he came out with all this music.
Isn't that, yeah, so yeah, take responsibility.
I guess I should be thanking him.
Yeah, take responsibility. Isn't that nice? But now, when did instruments come into your life? Was that from growing up, in your family?
Definitely it's in my family. I mean, my mom is a Misho, so.
Okay.
So it's on that side.
Is she connected with the Mishos that all play music?
Oh, yes. That's her brothers, Tommy, Rick,
I met
all
your
them.
Mother.
Okay.
I did an interview with them all out at Vermilionville.
Okay.
And, yeah, I had never met your mom before, and I met her then.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, very cool. Okay.
Nice.
So that's a nice connection then.
Yeah, that's LaFerre Misho is our uncles, and then our cousins are in Lost by Your Ramblers.
Sure. So Louie and Andre.
Right.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's definitely in the blood.
Yeah. And how old, let's start with the oldest, Jesse. How old were you when you picked up an instrument?
My mom started teaching me guitar when I was 5.
So she, okay. Yeah.
Possibly sooner than that, because I have pictures of me when I was really tiny playing a guitar.
Yeah.
But I guess she didn't actually start teaching me until I was 5.
So. Yeah, yeah. And how about you?
I actually started taking piano when I think I was 8. And I'm pretty sure that was my first instrument I really picked up. And my mom taught me a little bit, and then I took some lessons after that. And then a couple of years after that, my mom started teaching us guitar.
Okay. You still play piano at all?
Yeah,
I do. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you write on piano? I know you write.
I have written some. Not as much anymore, but when I first started, I wrote a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff on piano.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come back to that. Jordan, so when did you hook up with these two? How do you know these guys?
I actually met Jesse, I believe in 2010, I think it was, maybe 2009, and discovered he had an affinity for folk instruments, and we had some jams in his apartment one time, and then kind of faded away. I moved to Baton Rouge for a while, and then I found out that the former bass player had moved to Houston with a job, and so I texted Jesse, and I was like, I want to try out. And apparently I was the only one that tried out, and I got it on the
spot.
Yeah,
so you got – well, we always appreciate when somebody puts the effort in to haul a upright bass here to the studio.
Yeah, we do.
Because that takes some effort to do that. Was that your first instrument?
Absolutely not. I started playing guitar when I was 14, and I actually just picked up the upright bass this past July.
Yeah. Anybody in your family play music, or what inspired you at 14 to want to do guitar?
I mean, I guess I was just an angsty teen. I mostly played metal music, stuff like that, hard rock. And
who were you listening to at 14?
Oh, Slipknot, Breaking Benjamin, yeah. Stuff like that. Radio rock, and then just heavy metal, Metallica, Pantera.
Yeah.
And then I guess my taste just matured.
Or went into a different direction.
Right.
Yeah, because it'd be interesting to see how the other music may creep back in from time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's an amazing guitarist, like the best guitarist in the band for sure, which is, I guess in a way is kind of unfortunate. We don't really use guitar as a lead instrument that much, hardly at all. But we have one or two songs where he plays and kind of gets to show that.
Yeah. You focus lead instrument on...
Mainly banjo.
Yeah.
Sometimes
okay.
Fiddle. He plays fiddle sometimes.
Oh, you play fiddle too.
And
a little bit. Enough to know a couple of easy fun
enough
songs.
Enough to get in trouble, huh?
Yeah.
that's a really difficult instrument to learn.
Yeah, it is.
I think for a lot of people. I mean, there's some folks that just get anything, but I think fiddle is a really – he gets it, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, he can pick up – I mean, he's picked up lap steel accordion, right?
A piano accordion, but only because of
piano.
Yeah, you know,
very cool.
Converted pretty well.
He even plays the upright bass on one of our songs in our live set.
Okay, so you're the guy. All right. Interesting. Can we hear a song?
Sure. We're actually going to start with Caroline.
Okay.
It's from our first EP that we already have out.
Okay. Tell us before you start playing, tell us a little bit about the song.
Are
you the main songwriter,
yes,
Daniel?
Yes.
Okay.
We have Jesse's written a couple. We've written a couple as a band.
Okay.
But I guess mainly so. It was just I was working one day, and it's not a real person. I'm sure the stories and the love are real, but the name isn't real.
Yeah.
But it seemed to rhyme pretty well, Caroline.
Yeah, yeah.
Rhymed with a lot of stuff.
Okay. And there it came.
And there it came.
All right. This is the Rayo Brothers. This is Caroline.
Caroline, what can I say? You always have to run away. I understand that you're afraid, but I'm the man to keep you safe. You've got me dancing on a string. I'll dance for you if you dance with me. There's not a song I wouldn't sing. For your love I'd tame the tide. I'd rope the wind and try to ride. I wish you'd just give
sign. Oh, I'm not afraid to waste my time. Hell, you've been mine. You will find I will be kind. Caroline. I can never lie to you, Caroline. You've been mine. You will find I will be kind, Caroline. You've been mine.
Nice. If you're just joining me, this is The Exchange, and our guests in the studio today are members of the Rayo Brothers, and that was Daniel and Jesse Rayo and Jordan Ardwin, Daniel on vocals, guitar, Jesse Rayo on banjo, and Jordan Ardwin on upright bass. That was a beautiful song. That's also, Caroline, was from their EP, which was your first release, correct?
Yes.
That was called Rayo. But spelled as your family name.
That's correct. Yeah. R-E-A-U-X is
yeah.
our family name.
And the band actually is R-A-Y-O. If people do want to find out more about the Rayo Brothers, you can like them on Facebook, or you can go to Rayo, and that's R-A-Y-O, brothers.com. And that site actually takes you to a great site on Reverb Nation, and can find out projects they're working on. And a new CD is one of the major things that's coming up right now. I'm curious, the style of music that you play, where did that come from? Where did the interest in that style? Where did you guys focus on playing the style that you play?
You know, it's hard to even say exactly specifically why the Rayo Brothers started and we played like we did.
I'm going to back you up a sec. Now, in like your bio or whatever, it talks about how you did an open mic, a competition?
Yes, but actually, so Daniel had started writing songs, I guess, when he was 15 or 16.
Okay.
And by that point, I had already moved out of the house, so I didn't see him that often. And I guess at some point I just realized that he was writing all this music and not playing it anywhere. So I kind of forced him to go to an open mic night with me, and I just kind of backed him up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it was our first open mic night. We got a gig at Artmosphere, and so we had our other brother Asher join us, but we didn't really have anything going on until we started an open mic competition just a few months later at Artmosphere, and then we got a bassist who at that time was our cousin, and Patrick Michaud, actually, I think he used to work
okay.
here, and Lance Callahan. We got them to join with us specifically to do this competition, and that's kind of where we took off.
Yeah. And what I'm curious, when you were writing, Daniel, what were you listening to? What were the inspirations?
When I first started writing, actually, when I really first started writing, I guess I had listened to a lot of country, modern country, at the time, modern country.
Sure,
which
sure.
wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And then I just started kind of quit listening to stuff because I wanted to just write my own things for a little while.
Do you have a sense of it? Do you remember? Because I'm always curious with songwriters that when you first – was it pen to paper or were you typing?
No.
I mean, in your generation, a lot of times it's on a computer.
The first few songs I wrote, Well, the first couple were just memory.
Okay.
Because they were really short. And then...
Lyrics were coming, or was it...
And then music. Okay. Lyrics and music. Actually, the first couple of ones, I think it started music first.
Okay. Stuff just started coming to your head.
This
one. Yeah, yeah, very cool.
And
then okay.
It, okay. And then after that, yeah, I started writing it down. Writing down lyrics and piano, started mixing piano into it. And at first it was more, I hadn't really developed any type of, definitely not the folk style yet. Just more like singer-songwriter. It's hard to really.
No, but that makes sense, what you just said. Yeah. And then, Jesse, when you were noticing what he was doing, how did you come into the process then of putting the songs together?
Well, I had become interested in folk music, I can't say for sure, I guess around 2007, 2008. And I started listening to a lot of it. And we grew up with, our parents played us a lot of Bill Monroe. And
okay.
That's that type in that era of music.
That makes sense.
But I don't think it really caught on with me until I heard Crooked Still.
Okay.
And I really got into them, and I got a banjo and started trying to play it. And
okay, so that's what brought that instrument into the picture. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I guess when we started playing open mic nights, his songs, I mean, because it was just his voice and a guitar or a piano. So it could almost be any genre.
Sure.
You know? And I really wanted to play the banjo somehow. So I was like, you play your songs and I'll figure out a way to play banjo with it.
Interesting.
And I guess that's just kind of that's how it started developing.
Yeah. Okay. The first EP that you put out, what you're working on now, because I really want to talk about, the new CD that you're currently recording. Is it different in style at all, or is it going in a different direction, or is it a continuation?
I wouldn't say a different direction. It's there's more energy, a lot more energy in the new CD. One thing is just because of production. I mean, with this EP, only two of the first two songs, we really had the same guy who's recording us now.
Who is that?
That is Jordan Falgu.
Okay.
It's his friend of his, and we've known him for a little while.
Are you recording? Is it a home studio? Okay,
it is.
Very cool. All right.
And really, we just started wanted to put our more energetic songs so we could have, drums more and more instruments into it, and we wanted to bring out kind of more of our live feel, because our live shows, we really are mainly concerned with just having a good time.
Sure,
and
sure.
Fun and stuff like that. And so the new album has a little bit of everything. We have slow songs, we have fast songs, we have an Irish sounding song, we have,
Yeah, because I saw you had a gig coming up in, end of April or May, that is at an Irish pub, so I was curious about the kind of that Celtic feel connection, which some of that you hear in what you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the Irish Celtic music influenced Appalachian music, which influences us.
Sure.
And I don't know, I don't necessarily know the history of it, but it seems to me that Irish and Celtic music is similar to Cajun music as well. I don't know if there's an influence there or if it's just, it seems kind of similar to me.
Well, and you do have, when you go up the Nova Scotia, New Brunswick area, and you go to Île-de-Madeleine, that area up there, they have there's a real Scottish influence, I believe, and somebody can call in and correct that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that real Celtic feel for, especially on that. I just know a lot of musicians from Île-de-Madeleine up there, and very much a Celtic feel. And you'll see that, in the clogging and things they do, like with the fiddle players from the Cape Breton, the Breton fiddlers, mm-hmm. They'll do, it has that real feel to it. So, I'll throw in my that 2 cents that I know. Yeah, because you do hear that in yours. Tell me the name of the engineer again.
Jordan Falgu.
Jordan Falgu. That, and he grew up in the area here?
Yeah, he grew up in Lafayette and then in Carencreau, and he now lives in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay.
He's a good friend of mine. We used to play in bands together when we were younger, metal bands.
Yeah. Is this your first time, Jordan, involved in a recording project with this style of music?
Absolutely.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's the first time ever doing anything, recording anything acoustic at all.
Yeah. And how was the process so far?
A lot of fun. It's a whole different world recording with acoustic instruments instead of just, you know, like big amps and, you know, really loud noises. It's totally different. Great fun. And just being in the studio with these guys, they're awesome.
Well, and it's a whole different process when you're recording with acoustic, you know.
Absolutely.
Than with those. I mean, you have to pay attention to different things. What do you notice that you have to pay attention to differently when you're doing an acoustic recording versus having all those? Did you have Marshall amps? Did you have the large?
Mostly just dynamics. There was one song I was recording, and I do a little bit of slapping, and it just came through so loud whenever I just barely slapped. So we just had to figure out how to get that right. You know, when you're recording metal, you hit it as hard as you possibly
That's right.
can, and you play as hard as possible. So it was very different in that sense, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool experience. All right. You have another one you can do for us? Now, is this one, what song are we going to hear?
We're going to do Postcard.
Oh, very cool. I like that one. Now, that was on the EP, but did you say that's going to be on your new CD too, Postcard? No,
that's only on the EP.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that song and how that came about and how you recorded it.
Oh, we recorded it all around one condenser mic. And
that's how you see a lot of the old time.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were going
for.
I mean, it turned out all right on the CD, so, I mean, we kept it. We wanted that feel to it.
Yeah, what's the song about?
It's about basically leaving on a train because the girl he loves doesn't love him anymore, or they can't be together, and he's saying, you know, if you want to find me, I'll send you a postcard.
All right. This is the Rayo Brothers Postcard.
I'm gone before I get too far. Ain't taking nothing but my old guitar. When I get where I'm gone, I'll send you a postcard. Me, but it couldn't work out. I said I understand, but still I had my doubt. No reason to stay, I couldn't stick around. So I jumped the first train headed out of town. If you should come looking for me, tell you where I might be found. Sitting on the edge of the sea, watching that sun go down. Every night I play to get by. Only thing I really wanna do, watching that door, wondering why, as I sing another song about you. Salty air. I'll know where I'm going when I get there. Someplace I can sit all day and watch those ships. Or a little beach town where I can play for tips. You should come looking for me. Tell you where I might be found. Sitting on the edge of the sea, watching the sun go down. For every night I play to get by, only thing I really wanna do, watching that door, wondering why, as I sing another song about you.
Drift off to sleep, Jim, you were by my side. Woke up to a voice of music in my ear. Said, I got your postcard, I thought I'd find you here.
Very nice. That was a postcard with my guests in the studio today, the Rayo Brothers, and that actually they did on their first release, which was an EP, and it was called their family name, Rayo, R-E-A-U-X. And that was Daniel Rayo on vocals and guitar, Jesse Rayo on banjo, and Jordan Ardwin on upright bass. That's a very, very cool song. Songwriters that catch your ear. Who do you pay attention to? Whose style do you pay attention to?
Well, Avett Brothers are one good one. But, I mean, that's more modern. Mm-hmm. Bob Dylan just blows my mind. Every one of his songs I hear. I mean,
how old were you when you started listening to Bob Dylan?
Really only the past 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Before I was really paying attention to lyrics and stuff like that. You know?
And how did you start listening to Dylan? Was that through your folks, or was that?
No, well, a little bit. Like, I had heard of them. We may have had one tape.
Okay,
Yeah, we did. We had on cassette tape a long time ago. We had one of his Born Again albums. Is that what they're called? Slow Train Coming.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that's really the first I'd heard of him. But, you know, over the years, I didn't really pay much attention until I heard a couple of songs and I was really just thought about the lyrics and it. I was like just blown away.
Yeah.
And as far as the simpler stuff, you know, Johnny Cash, just the folk, you know, and Bill Monroe, things like that.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. Cecil, I want to put on, they brought in a couple of tracks that are coming from off their new release. And we're going to listen to the first track, which is Lil Sadie. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
This is actually the only song on our new album that's a cover. It's a traditional folk song. And we arranged it and we changed some of the lyrics, but yeah, it's actually one of the very first songs we ever played live, and it's just a lot of fun. So we wanted to have all original on the album, but this one was just we do a lot of covers that people really enjoy when we play live, and this was one we just had to include. So
all right, this is the Rayo Brothers and Lil Sadie.
Out one night to make a little round, I met Lil Sadie and I shot her down. I went back home. Jumped into bed with a .44 pistol under my head. A little round, I met Little Sadie and I shot her down. I went back home and jumped into bed with a .44 pistol under my head. I began to think of what deed I'd done. Grabbed my hat and I started to run. I made a good run, but I ran too slow. Overtook me down in Jericho. I went out to make a little round, met Little Sadie and I shot her down. Went back home, jumped into bed with a .44 pistol under my head. Dirt and burn, the first degree. Right over, I'm mercy on me. Oh, good fight, pick up your fist and never kill nobody again. On the corner reading the bill, upset the sheriff in Thomasville. He said, young man, is your name Brown? You remember the night he shot Sadie down? I said, oh yes sir, but my name is Lee. Murder Little Sadie in the first degree, first degree and the second degree. If you got any papers, would you read them to me? Out one night, you make a little round, met Little Sadie, I shot her down. Went back home, jumped into bed with a .44 pistol under my head. Church up front of the first degree, proud old Lord, I put you on me. Good wife, pick up the pen and never kill nobody again. We'll be right back. took me downtown, dressed me in black. They put me on the train, they brought me back. I had no one for to go my bail, so they crammed me back to the county jail. Judging the jury, they took their stand. The judge held the papers in his right hand, said, "You better repent, boy, for what you've done. You're gonna hang with the morning sun." I'm a dying, make a little round, that little stand down, shot down. Went back home, jumped into bed with a 44 pistol under my head. Jerks that burn the first degree, and cried, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me." Old Judge Wise, you got to spend it, he never killed nobody again.
Very, very cool. That was the Rayo Brothers, and that's from their upcoming release. That was Lil Sadie. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. We are a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, and we're right here live at Cypress Lake Studios. We are listener-supported, and thanks to all of you who continue year to year to support what we do here at this station. We have a tremendous amount of locally produced programs as well as national programs that we get. You can go to the website and continue to help us out. There's a donate button. You can press that. So thanks to all of you who continue to support the station. My guests in the studio today are three members of the band, the Rayo Brothers. We have brothers, actually, Daniel and Jesse Rayo, and joining them is on upright bass, Jordan Ardwin. We are missing today in the studio Lance Callahan, so we'll have to get you back and when Lance can
Absolutely.
Come on in. So there was the going in the high energy direction song of the new release.
Yeah.
That was fabulous.
Thank you.
First of all, before we get into talking about – and on that song featured on banjo was Jesse Rayo. The drums on that, was there – during part of it, was there a special drum that he was using, that he was pounding on?
No, it's just our drum set.
That's just the regular drum mm-hmm. set. Yeah, boy, that's very
we
cool.
We play with a full drum set. Lance
okay.
uses a full drum set.
That's a very cool sound during that one piece right there.
Yeah, he may have added some Jordan in the studio may have added a little bit of extra bass to it or something like
yeah,
that. For that.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's possible.
So let's talk about the banjo on that song. The style of banjo you play is what?
Like, I guess you would call it scrug style. It's finger style. So I play with a plastic thumb pick and two metal finger picks. Now, that song is the only one I think I play with a flat pick.
Okay.
So I'm sort of
like a flat pick, like you would hold if you're playing a guitar.
Like a guitar.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like clawhammer style, I guess. Which I don't actually play clawhammer style. That's where you play with just your fingers and maybe a thumb pick. But that one, I'm just flat picking in a open tuning.
The banjo you have in here today. It's how many strings?
Five strings.
It is a five string. It's interesting. The cover that you have on the body of it, the strings go away. You know, like it's hard to see the strings.
Oh,
they kind of go
yeah,
right
because
into
the black background.
Yeah, very cool. And the difference in using your steel picks versus it's a plastic one you have on your thumb.
Right. I don't.
It's just the sound you
I'm
get
not
out
sure.
of the strings.
The metal picks on the fingers give it a really. You know, that really plucky, high, tinny sound. The thumb pick, I've tried to use a metal one before, but really it's just I can never find a metal one that fit right, so that's why I use plastic.
Interesting, okay.
Although I did like the sound of the metal thumb pick, but I just it never felt right, so I use a plastic pick, and I don't know, I just never changed.
Yeah.
But I suppose if I found a metal pick that fit me just right, I probably would use that.
Switch to that.
Yeah.
When you wanted to start playing banjo, where did the inspiration for that come from?
Crooked Still.
Oh,
I heard them actually.
Still.
I heard them on KRVS. I want to say it was a live show they were doing in Lake Charles or something.
Okay.
And like, man, I was hooked. Like, I don't.
Is the sound
very
the
few,
sound?
Yeah. I mean, and they have an amazing banjo player, like probably one of the best in the world. So I couldn't even aspire to be on his level, but it inspired me to at least start playing.
Yeah. Did you self-taught?
Yes, I got a Earl Scruggs lesson book, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And I'm curious, too, you had played guitar prior?
Yes.
Is there any kind of a similar – I've never tried to play banjo before. Is there a similar – is there a transition at all that you can go from, or no, it's just too totally
– I wouldn't say it was similar at all. Okay. I mean, obviously, you know, the way you're holding your left hand where you're fretting the chords and everything – it's just really different, though. For one thing, I play electric guitar or acoustic with a flat pick. So with banjo, the finger picking is different because you're using three fingers and you're plucking individual strings instead of strumming. And the tuning is different. And what really threw me off, like the first probably year I was trying to play it, is that string on the top is the highest instead of being the lowest on the guitar.
Yeah.
But it is, once you figure it out, I think it's easier to play than the guitar. Yeah. I guess just because it's a smaller strings, a smaller fretboard and stuff like that.
God, very cool. So the process, how you guys work in the studio right now working on this recording, how does that work in terms of arranging? Who brings what to the table? How does that work for you guys? How does a song get created in there?
Pretty much everyone has input on it, for sure. We rely a lot on the knowledge of our producer.
Okay.
You know, but we generally try to play mostly like we do live. And we go in there, we do track by track. And then we do, some we did gang vocals on, we just all gather around a microphone. And that was
sure,
fun.
Yeah.
But all of these songs, except for maybe one or two, we've played live a lot, so that's kind of what we're going on.
Yeah, is part of that? Is it frustrating at all? I've heard some people talk sometimes that when they want to get that, they love that live feel, of when they're playing those songs at a gig, and then you go into the studio and you still want to have, that same kind of feel. How do you transition?
There's a huge difference, at least on the vocals, in this little closet, looking at a microphone and a wall,
as
opposed to looking at people
or
your band members. So I just try to close my eyes and use as much soul as I can.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume sometimes. I was always wondering if you close your eyes and kind of visualize a bit, put yourself into, because that song, I mean, that energy really came through. Yeah.
Was it that one song where we held the shotgun?
No, it was for Gunslinger. The title track of the new album is Gunslinger.
Okay.
And so the lyric is about a gunslinger.
Yeah.
In the Old West. So while I was singing, I held a gun in each hand.
Better than Jesse holding the gun on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so you held a gun.
No, I had the gun. Yeah.
Well, get yourself into the character, huh? That's very cool. Little theater there while you're recording. The time now, and I do want to remind people again that if you do want to find out more about the new CD and when it'll be coming out and everything, you can like them on Facebook, the Rayo Brothers. And remember, that's R-A-Y-O, or go to rayobrothers.com. Why now for this CD? Why did it feel like this was a good time to do this?
I mean, it was just a matter of – we've only been together, what, two and a half years?
Yeah.
2 years? So, I mean, we've always wanted this. So as soon as we really got, we got a solid band together. And I guess it's been, a year since we started working on it?
Almost
a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it wasn't like we were waiting or anything. We just wanted to do it as soon as we could. And then we kind of took our time within the beginning,
Yeah.
But, it was...
Now, for life for you guys, and I know, Jordan, you talked about going to school, but life for you guys, can you do any traveling at all? Or does it have to stay, like, to weekends?
Pretty much has to stay to weekends. An occasional long weekend. But, I mean, we both have full-time jobs.
All right. Yeah. But you're still able, if you need to do a little traveling in the adjoining
weekend,
states
we
in
do
the
weekend
area.
Tours like, Texas, the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Probably the most we've done so far, I think, is like a Thursday to a Sunday or something like
that. Are you the business end of it, Jesse?
Yes.
Yeah. That's not an easy job.
No, it's...
For promotion and all that.
Yeah. It takes a lot. But, you know, it's fun. I really enjoy it. So, you know, to me, it's more fun. I own another business, and I partner with my dad in another business. And this one is the most fun to me. Like, I just enjoy, even though it's the less pay, of course. But
sure, yeah.
There's a lot of reward for it, you know, non-monetary.
Yeah, but you have the personality, because you have to have a certain personality to call people, to get gigs, too, because, I mean, that it doesn't just generally happen on the first call.
No, it never does.
Yeah, you got to stay on top of it. You got to sell yourself. You know, for what you have been doing thus far to get the band booked, to get a promotion, to get things out there, what are the selling points of this band? What seems to catch people's interest?
It's hard to say what catches people's interest. Like, I kind of have an email that I try to send out to venues, but like, I change it like almost every time I send it. Like, I'm trying to tweak something because I don't really know what works. I know our genre of music, I mean, in general, I guess you could say Americana, which is really broad, but that's really building in popularity right now, especially in certain cities, areas. So yeah, I just try to emphasize that we're kind of, you know, we have authentic roots in that music, and that we really care about that kind of music. And then also that we have a live energy, you know, that we try to get the audience to really enjoy it and really get into it. Even audiences that I don't think would sit down and listen to this kind of music will enjoy us playing. Because, like, when we play on the streets in New Orleans and stuff, there's people that are passing by that, you know, I'm sure don't necessarily enjoy our style of music, but they just like...
So you're just going to, like, busk in New Orleans?
We do that.
You do? Yeah. Ah, okay.
That's one of the funnest things we've done as a band is just doing that.
Yeah. Well, what's enjoyable about it for you?
Well, for one thing is people don't have to stop, and they choose to, so you know they actually want to listen.
Yeah, very cool.
And last time we were in New Orleans, we actually got too big of a... group around us, and they had to tell us to move along because we were blocking on the street.
Yeah, you became a venue.
And that was nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And we make, you know, some cash.
Yeah, that's a good way to do that. Do you have a set date for when the new CD will come out?
Yes, May 17th.
May 17th, okay.
And that's the date of the CD release show at Artmosphere.
Ah, okay. All right, so people can keep that on their calendar, so May 17th. You had another live one that you said you wanted to to play for us.
This is another pretty high-energy one that we have on the new album. It's called City of Blues. And
where'd that song come from?
It's hard to say.
Somewhere within your world.
Yeah,
huh, Daniel?
It's a strange world sometimes. I'm not gonna lie.
That's what makes an interesting artist. You know? Well, we'll figure it out. You go ahead and play.
Yeah, any questions you have after, you can ask me. I'll try it. All right. I fought for days in this vacant room, trying to fill an empty tomb. The words come slow and out of place between every line. I've drawn your face. I keep a book beside my bed of all the words I left unsaid. It starts with us and ends in you, but it don't tell me what I should do. So I'm calling out.
and telephone wires are running circles on my mind. What hides you from my wandering eyes? I'm only trying to define, and I'm calling out. I'm trying to find her, this old town keeps screaming louder. These streets are wearing through my shoes.
City of Blues, if you're just joining us, that was the Rayo brothers, three of the members anyways. And again, that's Daniel Rayo on lead vocals and guitar, Jesse Rayo on banjo, picking away, and vocals, and Jordan Ardwin on upright bass. I like the sound of that upright bass, Jordan.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a cool instrument. That was a great song. That one's got to be really fun to play when you're on stage, huh?
It really is. It's
for me, I'm still getting used to it. It's our newest song, so
yeah.
It is
quite a banjo roll he's got going on.
It's fabulous. You get people dancing at your gigs?
We do, yeah. It depends on the gig.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, but...
On the venue you're at?
Yeah. I mean, if it's a restaurant, you know.
Sure.
Especially after they ate, they really don't
care. Yeah, but you'll see a lot of, you know, the hands on the table and stuff like that, and on the knees.
Yeah.
Have you played festivals in the area?
Yeah, we're playing Festival International on Thursday night on the Beer Garden
cool.
stage.
Okay.
We've played the...
Did you play Black Pot?
No, we didn't.
You need to play Black.
I know. I contacted them. I haven't heard back yet. But what was that one... In the park. The beer festival, I forgot what it's called.
Golf Brew.
Oh, Golf Brew, you played at that. Okay.
That was a good show for us because we got a lot of good contact after that show.
And we played a festival in St. Bernard.
Calling It Home.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Calling It Home Festival.
Oh, very cool. Okay. In St. Bernard Parish.
Yes.
Very nice. Because, you know, and Cecil, tell me if I'm wrong about this, because I've been here a little over 20 years. But when I first moved here, and because I was used to hearing the banjo, and I don't know that you could hear this style of music often around here at that time. Cecil, is that right? Right? No.
I never heard anybody back then doing that. Not until, like I said, the last 10 years, I suppose.
Yeah.
5 to 10 years, it's sort of taken off.
Yeah, very cool. Because it was something that – and I missed hearing the banjo, you know, when I moved here. Because it just wasn't a popular instrument in this. And I guess, you know, when I started hearing Dirk Powell play it around, you know, and it just kind of gives me a feel of home, you know, because I grew up with a lot of friends playing banjo. So it's nice that that you guys have this style that you've brought into the area, you know. So you're going back into the studio for how many more do you have left to record?
Well, we're actually done recording.
You are complete? Ah.
Yeah, all we have left is he's doing some more mastering and mixing.
And then we have to, you know, send it off and get it pressed and
sure.
set up digital distribution and stuff like that.
Okay. Is it and I'm curious, do you write at all, Jesse?
A little bit.
A little yeah. bit.
I've done maybe two or three songs that we play as a band myself, but most of my writing is kind of supplemental to Dan. Like Dan comes up with, you know, he'll need a line or a verse or a bridge, and I'll kind of help him with that, but it's more of a supplemental thing with me.
Okay. I'm curious how it works for – because this is still newer for you guys in terms of recording. Is it difficult at all to put a song to rest, to be done with it? Or is it that want to – let's just go back and tweak a little more.
Some songs are really simple, and it was only a couple instruments recording. And those are generally pretty easy. It's hard to say. I mean, once you start running out of time and you have time frames, it's a lot easier to just move on and say, well, that's all
it.
We can do.
Yeah, back
so
off.
I guess it's good in a way.
Yeah, okay. And how many songs on – and the title is Gunslinger. How many songs?
11 songs.
Yeah, very cool.
And we're going to have like an intro track too that just kind of hopefully will set the feel and tone of the album with just some ambient sounds and like kind of pulling from other tracks in the album.
Yeah.
But it's not really a song, you know, it just kind of introduces the album and then the music starts and we have 11 songs on the album.
Sure. Okay. Very cool. I do want to remind people again, and you can, you know, stay up to date for where, and I know you've got to get going to class, right,
yeah.
Jordan? Yeah. So feel free if you got to like pack up and stuff. That's here at UL.
Yeah.
So you don't have far to go. But if you do want to find out more about their release for their new CD, Gunslinger, you can go to Rayo Brothers, R-A-Y-O, brothers.com. And also check them out on Facebook. And it'll let you know all kinds of projects that they're doing, too, in connection with this CD. And you're going to be doing the CD release party will be May 17th at Artmosphere. I do see you have a couple gigs coming up for people that are fans or new fans, people that want to come out and see you live. You will be Saturday, March 22nd at the Brass Rail in Ville Platte. What kind of venue is that?
Actually, my brother owns that bar. It's not even really a music venue. It's just
oh.
a bar. But
but you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, every now and then he'll pull in some guys to play and I love to go play over there. I played there with one of my past bands, and the crowd is always good.
Very cool.
It's a fun environment.
Good. Okay. March 29th, you will be, for any folks going to be in the New Orleans area, listening for there at Chickiwawa's. And then April 9th, you'll be back here in the area in Lafayette at Cafe Vermilionville, and also Thursday night at Festival International. Very
Great.
Cool. At the Beer Garden. Glad to hear that. You guys... it's been great having you on here.
Well, we really appreciate
oh,
being on
fabulous.
This show.
Oh, it's fabulous.
And I've always listened to your show, and I've loved the interviews and
yeah.
everything, so it's really honored.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. I'm glad to find out the connection between you guys and the Meat Shows. I've known Louis for years, since
yeah.
he was, you know, a couple years younger than you are now. So, I didn't realize the connection with the family. The whole bit of traditional music then comes naturally.
Yeah, and I actually play with them every at Prejean's, and I'm the new guitar player.
With the Michaud Brothers?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm the new guitar player for them. So.
There you go. Another gig. Yeah. All right. Very cool. They've had that one for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. The song that we are going to go out on, and this is off the new CD.
No, this is from...
Oh, that's from the EP again. That's right. But this is Dark Days. What can you tell us about that song?
It's kind of dark in a way,
yeah,
as
yeah.
you might have guessed. it was, I guess it was, I was going through a breakup at the time, and that's when most of my better music...
with a lot of people.
And it's sad, you know. But
I think Lucinda Williams made a comment one time where that's what, you know, that helped her out a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is Dark Days. This is the Rayo Brothers. Thanks for coming on, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a good week, everybody.
sorry. We couldn't get along. That you had to run away. Dark day and the blackest night.
Later today on This American Life, what it's like for writer David Sedaris, living in France, struggling with the language.
This is my worst nightmare right here. Okay, my lighter has run out of fluid, which would mean that I would have to ask somebody for a match. And so what I would say is, hello, do you have some fire?
Americans in Paris, why the French may be right to hate us.
I will not spend the afternoon asking people if they have fire.
Tonight at 7 on KRVS.
I'm Poppy Tooker, host of Louisiana Eats. Tune in Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. for your weekly serving on KRVS 88.7 FM, listener-supported public radio for Acadiana.
KRVS